Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to the Tech Support Podcast. This is episode 4, and today I'm joined by a new co-host,
Sharay Agarwal.
So today we'll be talking about the GPU market. This whole episode is completely PC-based, about the PC market. So let's start off by talking about the GPU market. So I'll just start off by giving you an overview of what exactly is happening right now. So because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we're in a capacitor shortage. So this not only affects the PC market, this actually also heavily affects the automotive market. I believe GM has released a statement saying they are going to lose almost $2 billion in sales alone from the shortage. So that, and I find that pretty crazy. So yeah, so that's what's happening right now. And this directly follows over into the PC market, where we're in a chip shortage. So that makes, you know, things that have capacitors in it super hard to find. And the, you know, main example I'll give is graphics cards. People are trying to get the NVIDIA 30 series and the AMD Radeon 6000 series. They're impossible to get because we're in a shortage. For example, the RTX 3080 is not to be found in stock. You can only find it, you know, on Best Buy and Select Drops, which is super hard to get, or Newegg Shuffle, which is a common one, or you can, you know, be a crazy madman and just buy it on eBay for super high prices. An example of this is a 3080 costs about $800 to $900, let's say, MSRP, and the scalper prices on eBay are, say, around $2,000. So, Ashari, what do you think of this?
I think that people are, like, spending a bit too much on these stuff. Like, we can just get them at regular MSRP and reduce the demand. Maybe it's fine, but the problem is because of this pandemic, a lot of people are trying to get their hands on GPUs to get working computers at home and to get cars so they don't have to use public transportation to go places.
Yeah, so what makes this even worse is since we're in an actual global shortage, trying to get our hands on these things are so hard. As soon as the AMD Radeon 6000 series had dropped, as well as the NVIDIA 30 series in around November, the market just crashed. It's hard to get any graphics card. If I want a, you know, old 3-year-old 1660 Ti, $500. That's insane, right?
That's crazy, man. It's almost $1,000 extra to up to $2,000 extra for a fresh 3080.
Yeah. And, you know, personally, I do have an RTX 3080. I'll talk about that a little later. But, you know, I got lucky for MSRP. But if I wanted to resell that card, I'd be doubling down what I put in, which is crazy to think. But, you know, personally, I don't think I'll be selling mine. You know, the whole purpose of it was for me to have it and enjoy it myself. What about you, Shari? Were you ever considering getting into the market?
Well, I was thinking about it. But the only problem is that it's just so hard to get these graphics cards. It's like trying to win the lottery, except the lottery is much easier than to get like a graphics card here because they're just so expensive and so hard to come by.
Yeah, so we'll set aside. Pricing, BS. Prices should not be that high. And it's crazy. The thing is, when are we ever going to get back to the normal state where I can go on Best Buy right now and just order a graphics card and have it in my house? 3-4 days. So we'll talk about our luck actually trying to get them. For me, I tried getting it on launch back in September, and I only got my 3080 at the beginning of May. So that's a little bit of time that I spent trying to get it, and I finally got it.
A little bit, man. Come on. That's so long. And it's so rare as well. That's like 1 out of 1,000.
Yeah. It's crazy. So what do you think the future of the market will look like? Like, how long do you think it'll take before it's back to a fully stable market? Like, what do you think it's dependent on?
I think it's dependent on the demand. Because so many people want graphics cards. It's, like, really hard to ever give the factories a chance to even develop them.
Yeah, but you can't blame it on the factory. You can blame it more on, honestly, the COVID-19 pandemic. That is the worst factor. Like, that's what messes up the most. Back last June, if I wanted to, I could have bought a 2080 Ti, and had it in my possession, to be honest. But I decided to wait. But, yeah, it's all supply and demand.
I mean, the biggest thing is that miners, I think they make my blood boil because, like, they just, like, they're trying to get their hands on something that doesn't really exist, and other people cannot like get those graphics cards which they need for their work,
yeah, or
for other reasons, like for making cars. They need the chips that are in the GPUs, but because of these miners, there's a higher demand in GPUs, which means that these automotive companies cannot get their hands on these capacitors needed to build their cars.
Yeah, and I think the worst part about this is because of that, if I actually need it, people are going out and paying absurd, double prices for what the card is actually worth.
That's when they're lucky, man.
Yeah.
It's going almost quadruple.
Yeah. And it's all like, we're in a chip shortage, but B is so many miners, like cryptocurrency miners, people who are mining Bitcoin and Ethereum, they're getting them in mass numbers, which is just crazy. So, and then they're just keeping them for themselves, mining, and for their own benefit. They're leaving nothing for anyone behind, which is crazy because they're buying like how many cards would you need in a proper mining system? Like 20, right?
Yeah, 6 at the very least if you're getting top-end one, which are very, very hard to come by. But, yeah, 20 seems pretty realistic.
Yeah, and, it's just hard. It's just a crappy market. I say as soon as the COVID-19 pandemic, ends and it's just, it turns into something like the flu shot, something like that, like a seasonal thing, that's when the market will be able to, stabilize and it'll just be normal. I'll be able to go buy a new card. Like, I'd be able to go into a store and purchase one, give them my card, and take it home normally instead of having to, do, the Newegg shuffle.
Yeah, so people can't even get their hands on, 1660s these days.
Yeah.
Because miners just are crazy about these graphics cards.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't think I mentioned this, but I'd actually gotten my 3080 through the Newegg shuffle. The one I have is the Gigabyte Vision 3080, so it's the white one. It looks very good, but I don't really think it, belongs in my build as much because, I went for a full black build. I will not say no to a 3080. It's a beast. It's super helpful. So, yeah.
Yeah, man, I wish I got as lucky as you. I was trying my hand on trying to get some 3080s and try to upsell them.
Yeah, so a scalper. Honestly, if I were you, I'd keep one for yourself. It is really worth it. They're good cards.
Yeah.
So let's transition in. Not as much of the GPU market, but more of the overall PC market, as a whole. So today, right now, would you build a PC?
Heck no. If I can get my hands on probably the Newegg shuffle or getting these parts at MSRP, sure. But that's one in a million chance today, man.
I agree. It's super hard to do. So I agree with you. I would not buy a PC. I would not build a PC today unless I had a graphics card. Because a graphics card is the most important part of a gaming PC, and they're just impossible to get. So I wouldn't, personally, I wouldn't buy one right now. Would if you owned a PC, say my PC, would you resell it today?
If I can get my hands on a second set of computer parts, sure, because they're in high demand right now.
I agree. If I were to sell my computer right now, honestly, I'd come out with decent money. But, I don't want to sell it because there's no chance. I don't have a chance of being able to get back into the market and, buy another computer because who knows, everything's constantly sold out.
It's like the stock market, but the stock market is way more easier than this, man.
Yeah, I agree. So, instead of building a PC, should you buy a pre-built computer? This way you can get your hands on the newest hardware.
Actually, pre-builds nowadays are coming pretty cheap for what their value is at. They're coming almost MSRP, maybe $500 extra, but that's way more worth than the custom builds that you're getting for $2,000 extra. My build that I want to make for myself is $4,000. Would usually cost $2,000.
Yeah, I actually completely disagree with you when you say pre-builds are a decent price. Pre-builds in no way are a decent price. These brands like Cyberpower, iBuyPower, they're all raising their prices. so they can compete with scalpers. So they just come out with so much more money. But I still think if you need a PC today with a high-end chip in it, buy a pre-built. Buy not like an Alienware, but buy something that you could actually, you know, upgrade over time. Like an Alienware computer, for example. They may look cool, but A, they're not really the best. But B, if you ever want to upgrade them over time, you can. And that's the fun of a custom PC. So in my opinion, you can go to a retailer like Redux, buildredux.com. I was considering getting something from them. They have access to all the new Ryzen chips and the Intel chips. So they'll be able to, you know, build you a PC. Buildredux.com. This is not a, you know, paid placement, but Redux, please sponsor me and maybe, you know, send me a PC. But yeah. So do you think you should wait for the market to settle until you buy a PC?
I think, yeah, that's a big thing. For, like, getting your own custom, like, desktop, you should most definitely wait for the market to settle because it's just so goddamn expensive.
Yeah, no, I agree. You'd save so much more money by, you know, just waiting. I know you wait and you want it now, but if you're willing to spend double the price that you wanted to spend originally, by all means, go for it. But, you know, it's not worth it. So let's transition to the 30 series, NVIDIA 30 series in laptops. I've been seeing a lot of videos about that lately. What do you think about it?
I think that's a big thing because the 30 laptops is already the 30 series laptops. The 30 series GPUs in laptops are already much better than the 20 series. The 30 series get like almost like a 30 to almost 100% increase depending on which graphics card you compare.
Not even that, they're vastly available. I can go to, like, say Razer, for example. I can go to Razer.com and go order myself a 3080 i9 11th gen mobile processor laptop right now. I can't go on Newegg and buy a 3080 right now. You know, obviously, the performance isn't going to be the same, but it is a 3080, and it is going to be better than the, you know, older 20 series Max-Q chips. Right? Do you agree with me?
I agree with you. And also, the thing is that they've made the Max-Q chips so efficient and so powerful this year in the 30,000 series that it's just so much more worth to get these laptops compared to getting a pre-built or a custom PC.
And actually, it's a really good segue into what I wanted to talk about next. So what I wanted to talk about next is, as of today, May 26th, when we are recording this, should you buy a gaming laptop with the 30 series, or should you, you know, get a pre-built or attempt to build your own computer with the 30 series, even if you are paying the same price? What do you think?
I think just because of how efficient and how powerful the 30 series is right now, it's much easier to get a laptop. It's much better, in my opinion. Personally, I like laptops over desktops because they're much more portable, much easier to manage. But again, that's on personal opinion, and I think that the laptop is going to be much better.
Okay. Wow. Just because you said that, I'm going to say I disagree with you. If I can get a pre-built, a $2,000 pre-built with a 3080 and like an i7 or a Ryzen 7 5800X, and get that over a laptop, I'm getting it because I know damn well that these, you know, desktop class is going to be faster. But if it's for convenience, obviously I'll get the laptop. You know, but if I had the option to choose between the two, personally, I would get the full desktop, especially after owning a desktop for this last year.
I mean, I'm more mobile than I want to be fixed. So for me, a laptop, of course, is perfect.
Yeah, I agree. So here's a complaint I have. So I have the Asus X570 Tough Wi-Fi motherboard, and it's housing my Ryzen 9 3900 XT. The damn motherboard has an HDMI and a DisplayPort on the back of it, and these Ryzen chips are not shipping with APUs. Like, what the hell? What are those ports sitting there for? I can't use them for anything. It's not like my CPU has integrated graphics.
That's true, and those that do come with it, like the G series, are not, like, they're not even powerful at all. Like, they're not worth having.
Yeah, as of today, the only semi-decent, you know, Ryzen processor with that has integrated graphics is, I think it's a Ryzen 3 or 5, the 3200G. There are no, as of today, Ryzen APUs, which I can put in my computer, which is crazy. Like, you know, AMD processors, as of today, like the new AMD 5000 series, is faster than the 11th gen Intel. But if I can't get my hands on a graphics card, I'm almost, and if I want to use my computer, I'm almost forced to go the Intel route, which is crazy.
I agree with you on that. Intel is not really doing so hot currently, so I don't know about their future. But I definitely know that right now they have like a strong standing, as they have like these APUs where people can still use their computers while they wait for the GPUs to come in stock.
That's true. And the even better thing about Intel is the fact that they're slashing all of their prices.
Oh, yeah. I've seen like a $500 decrease in like the 10... I think it was the i9-9900K.
9900K?
Yeah, the 9th gen. Yeah, that ended up going from 700 to 500 to 300 within like a month.
Yeah, it's crazy. The demand for Intel was so high a year ago, and now it's just, you know, Ryzen's better. I myself have a, you know, 3000 series Ryzen in my PC. So, yeah, but, you know, I don't like how I have these HDMI ports on the back of my motherboard, and I really can't take advantage of it. But that actually transitions perfectly into what I wanted to say next. AMD may be coming out with new APUs. And for those of you who don't know what an APU is, it's basically a CPU with integrated graphics. I don't know the specific term for it, but I know it's called an APU. It's a, you know, CPU with integrated graphics.
It's called Accelerated Processing Unit.
All right, so it's a combination of both a, you know, CPU and a GPU all in one chip. And AMD has these APUs that they put into their, you know, mobile laptops. And, you know, now they're starting to sell them. I believe they're the Ryzen 4000 series, which they have in their, you know, in their mobile computers, like their laptops and stuff. Those will be soon coming to the desktop application. So I'd be able to get the equivalent of a 5800X with integrated graphics. So if I don't have a graphics card, if I can't get my hands on a graphics card at all, I can still actually use my computer instead of, you know, letting it sit on a table and rotting until I can't get my hands on a graphics card, right? Like,
yeah, and also as the added bonus, the AMD APUs are so much better than the Intel APUs.
I agree. They're better.
The Radeon Vega, it's like 100% increase in performance compared to the Intel UHD 630.
I agree. And now with AMD coming to the market, they can really, you know, be better. Before, Intel didn't have any competition, so they could do whatever they want, knowing that there's no actual competition and people actually have to buy from them. You know, they don't have to put as much effort into their integrated graphics. Even though if someone needs integrated graphics, they don't really have any other brand that they can go to. So, yeah. And Intel also, like, every time a new CPU comes out, they end up coming out the new motherboard. Before, they were able to take complete advantage of that because, you know, there were no good competitors who could, you know, stay up with them. But now, with AMD, like, AMD promised for the AM4... 4 years, they'll be able to use the same motherboard. So I'd be able to use a B450, B550, X570, 4 years on the AM4 socket itself.
Damn, bro. That's pretty long, man. That's a pretty good lifeline.
Exactly. And then we have Intel, basically just, you know, new socket every year, which means I have to buy a new $300 motherboard. And the worst part is Intel motherboards are more expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
So, A, you're charging a price premium for these motherboards. And B, if I want to upgrade the next year, I have to buy a whole new motherboard, which is expensive. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Not just crazy, it's stupid. Why just force the consumer to spend more?
Yeah, I agree. So we're going to slow down here, you know, take a little ad break right now. So we'll be back in a few minutes. See you. All right, guys, so we are back from the ad break. So let's just get right back into it with a story. So, Shari, go ahead and tell them your interesting story, which I laughed at you.
Yeah, so the other day I ended up breaking my hard drive. I was trying to take my computer off the stand that I've like set up. And when I was doing that, my hard drive went flying. And so due to the shock of it like hitting the ground, the head got stuck and now it doesn't work anymore, sadly.
That's why you buy SSDs over hard drives, but you know, no judgment.
It was a gift, okay? In my opinion, I had no choice but to take it. It was 2 terabytes, good quality, but it broke. I don't know what to do now.
Well, you know, that's what you do when you drop a hard drive. You know, a hard drive with a disk spinning in it. God, you know, it would suck if I took the hard drive out of the back of my computer and chucked it because, you know, I have like 2 terabytes of data on it. So...
yeah, so did I, but like... I thought it was connected when I was removing it, but yeah. Now I'm stuck looking for a new hard drive.
Hard drive or an SSD?
An SSD.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I had in mind. Do you have any specific one that you have in mind?
Some NVMe one. Just long life. I don't care about speed. I can go to shit if it wants to.
Okay, so personally, I suggest and you want 2 terabytes?
Yeah.
See, that's expensive. That's expensive as hell. You're looking at like the $280, $300 range?
Right? I found one for $209.
What's the brand?
Inside? Instill? Something like that.
What brand?
It was like in something.
I have no idea what you're talking. Antec? Antec, sorry.
No, it's like inside.
I have no idea. But, yeah. You know, my suggestions are Corsair, Sabrent, Samsung, Crucial,
Sabrent WD. Can go to hell, man.
Nah, their stuff's fast. They have some fast
stuff. It's fast, but it doesn't have good life.
8 terabytes, though.
I don't need that much, man.
Yeah, I know. An 8 terabyte Sabrent SSD costs as much as my PC. So, I wouldn't say that's very good, but, you know, if you need 8 terabytes of, you know, solid state, you can go for it. I think the best part about you actually getting an SSD is if you ever are an idiot and rip it off your stand and it goes flying, just plug it right back in. I myself am an owner of a Samsung portable SSD. I own the Samsung T5, 1 terabyte. I do all my like Final Cut Pro video editing off of it and all my Photoshop, like personal Photoshop work on it because my MacBook has 256 gigs of storage and a Final Cut library tends to take up, you know, solid amount. So, yeah, that's your story. You think you're going to order one soon and just, you know, re-download all the data you lost?
Maybe. There's also a chance that I can fix it and then just try to scrabble as much information as I can into another hard drive in order to save that data.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a hard drive. Well, what are the odds, right? And the worst part is it's one of those portable hard drives, so it's, like, really small. It's the size of a 2.5-inch SSD.
That's still pretty standard for today's.
It's standard, but it's not a... I don't know what the size is, but I have a Seagate Barracuda in my PC, so I think I feel like that'd be easier to repair than a, you know, portable, quote-unquote portable hard drive. But, yeah, that's what I think.
Right now I'm looking to, like, a 970 Evo Plus.
Yeah, I'd suggest that.
It's good, but it's expensive as fuck.
Yeah, I agree. They tend to be pretty pricey. So you give your story and I'll give my story, which is a little bit more interesting. So my computer was crashing and freezing games and just screen tearing everything. Now, this only started when I'd put in my 3080 and a new motherboard. I didn't know which one it was, so I just R-made it. You know, I just R-made it because I had time, so I sent my 3080 and the motherboard in, put a new motherboard in my computer, and nothing. It was still crap.
I was laughing my ass off when I found out the result.
And then I did a antivirus scan, and turns out I had a Trojan virus on my computer, which means I sent out a motherboard and an RTX 3080. For no damn reason. And I have to delete about 2.5-3 terabytes of data off my computer. So,
at least you can get that data back.
Yeah, I did over the weekend, over this past weekend, re-download everything. 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 You know, all of my games. I have a lot of games. I had about, you know, 1.5-2 terabytes of games on my computer. So, you know, I think I took the L. And I'm down on RTX 3080. So I believe the RTX 3080 I got from Newegg, I contacted them yesterday about it, and they had told me it should be back around June 10th-ish, and the motherboard after. But I don't really care about the motherboard, because it was just another X570 that I had laying around. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'll have it back soon, and, you know, hopefully it, you know, doesn't screen tear. But in the meantime, I'm stuck with the 1660, and, yeah.
Yeah, we both took big L's this time.
Yeah, that is the big L story time of this podcast. So, let's go on to our next section, which is console versus PC. I asked Arif Gary, our last guest, about this. So, is speed even, you know, it's crazy. The new PS5 and the Xbox Series line are fast. They have ray tracing on them. They have proper ray tracing, and they're compatible with displays that are 4K 120Hz.
Damn, man.
Yeah, but the problem is, if you want to get that in a monitor form, you're dropping $1,000. If you want to get that in a TV form, which I believe is what they marketed for, it's just like $1,200. So, you know,
it's still pretty impressive, though, in such a small thing.
Yeah, I agree. And they're small consoles. I mean, obviously, it's nowhere as fast as my, you know, Ryzen 9 3080 PC. But it's good. I actually do own the Xbox Series X. And it is so much faster than my original Xbox One I had before it. It's crazy. The quick resume is so helpful. If I ever turn my Xbox off and then just get back on the next day, it will load me. I'll use Forza Horizon 4 as an example. It will load me to the moment I left the game at the exact position. It's crazy. And the pricing is really good for these consoles, especially in comparison to a PC. You can't build a $500 PC that's faster than a new console, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's, like, absurd. I'm like, how did they even get these parts? And we're able to, like, make a profit from
this. How does the math make sense, right?
Yeah, like, I have to spend $4,000 to get, or $3,000 to get as much performance as these consoles
have.
Not even,
no, you can get something.
I'm talking about in this current time.
Yeah, period. True. But in a normal time frame, if you really wanted to get something that can compare to these new Xboxes, that's a PC, you'd be dropping double the amount of money that these new consoles cost. So the pricing for the Xboxes is, I believe, $349 for the Series X and $499 for the Series X. And for the PlayStations, I think it's like $499 for the PlayStation 5 with a disc, and like $100 less for the digital version.
Yeah.
I believe, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty accurate, yeah.
So today, right now, you have a choice of a $1,000 PC that competes with the Xbox that's almost equal, or a $500 Xbox. What do you buy?
I personally would actually choose the PC. Just because it has more usability than a console.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that. After, you know, I've been a console gamer majority of my life. Like, I've had an Xbox and, like, a Wii for a really long time. And I've always loved it. And I'd always, you know, clown on my friends who, oh, you have a gaming PC. But in the last year, I really did realize that, you know, PCs, it's just more fun. And I had fun building it. I had fun putting my computer together. You know, it's like my baby. It's like, it's my own thing. I put effort into it instead of walking into Best Buy and buying a console, you know?
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I don't have a gaming PC, but I have a laptop that's just good enough.
Yeah.
It has an overclocked GPU and everything, and the moment I switched, I was just like, man, this thing is the absolute shit, man. This thing is so good.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with that. And what I like is, on PCs, it's easier to get a game on sale. Console games are absurdly high priced, especially the next, like, these new consoles. The prices for the games, it's crazy. If I want to buy 2K21 optimized for this Xbox, I'm paying $70.
Bro, I can get the same thing for, like, $20.
$20 or $30, yeah. And speaking of which, for those of you who don't know, and those of you who do own a PC, 2K21 is free on Epic Games right now, and it runs well. I had fun playing the game. Shari and I, we played last weekend.
Yeah, and, it was amazing.
It's a fun game, and it runs so much better on PCs. Like, I have a 240Hz monitor. Sorry, 280Hz monitor, the Asus one. Yeah, it's crazy. It's so nice, and the game loading times is so good. But I can say 2K21 next gen on the consoles is equally as fast. It loads into the games so fast. The 2K21 that's on Epic Games is the quote-unquote current gen. So it's the one that's optimized for like the Xbox One and the One S and the One X. And the one I'm talking about is the one optimized for the Series S and the X. It's crazy. Like for those of you who own it, you're lucky. But then again, you did also spend like $50 to $60 to $70 or $100 if you got the Mama edition. That's crazy. That's a stupid price.
A stupid amount of price. That's as much as like 1/5 of the Xbox.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you're spending 1/5 of an Xbox console on a single game. And I highly, like I can 100% say you play more games than that. If you're anything like me, you like other sports games or like shooters. Those are pretty expensive. Call of Duty, that's like $50. You know.
Yeah, but like if you're really into it, you're probably just going to spend like 100 or more.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so is it even worth it? Do you think it's worth it to right now buy a console over a PC?
That's a good question. I think that in this time frame, just because of how expensive these computer parts are, I feel like a console is more worth it. I know that there are rumors about Xbox bringing out a desktop mode, but I don't know. If they bring that out, then that's going to blow away every other computer on the market today. Like, everybody's just going to buy the Xbox.
I agree. Actually, I wasn't thinking you were going to say that. But yeah, I agree. $500 for the Xbox Series X and how fast it is and if there's games that you like on it, it is a hell of a deal. Like, by the way, those are all completely sold out, just like the RTX 3080. But if you can get your hands on that or a PlayStation 5, buy it. Like, if you're into the games on it, buy it. It's good. It's fast. It's worth it, especially when you're coming from the normal Xbox One like me.
And they could have easily asked for about $2,000 for these consoles. They're easily worth that.
Exactly.
In today's market. But they're being really, really nice and giving it to us for like $500.
But scalpers for those actually aren't that bad, to be honest. I was talking to someone. Their scalper prices are about $800 to $900.
That's still way better than any pre-built or custom-built computer.
Exactly.
Unless you want to get a laptop.
And for the scalpers in general, it's better than what they're doing with the RTX cards. The RTX cards are being, you know, priced for double. I'm not paying double. I'm not paying $1,000 for an Xbox. I'd be out of my mind if I were to do that, you know?
Yeah, I already have my own Xbox S, and that's very good for my purposes.
Yeah, I agree. So let's just, we'll end this section now, and we'll go into our final section for the day. We're just calling it a bonus section, because it's just a mix of, you know, random crap that we were talking about. So, we'll start off. What video games do you play?
So, I like to play lots of racing games. I sometimes play Fortnite with my friends, because it's a good idle game to play.
I agree.
I like to play Forza Horizon. Assetto Corsa is a very nice one. And BeamNG, because they both have the mods that you can do. And they're both pretty fun if you know how to play them well. For shooters, I do Smite, if you want to call that a shooter game. I do Fortnite. And sometimes, but rarely, I'll play Valorant and GTA.
Yeah, so for me, the main video game I've been playing as of today, right now, is Valorant. Second behind that is Apex Legends, since it came out the new arena mode. And I'm actually starting to enjoy that game. The only time I played that game before, you know, the last 2 weeks was maybe 3 years ago when the game first released and people were saying, oh, it's going to be better than Fortnite, it's going to kill Fortnite. You remember those days?
Oh, yeah, I remember those days. Every YouTube comment section, every YouTube video, it's like, Fortnite's dead. Apex is alive. So much better. So much cooler. Yeah. Look where it is now.
Yeah. exactly. I don't know if you mentioned this, but I think pretty sure, hopefully, you play it too. Everyone plays a little bit of Minecraft once in a while.
Oh, heck yeah.
It's a timeless game. I'll get bored of it if I play like 2 weeks straight, but you know, it's one of those games that I can always come back to. There's no game-breaking thing in it.
You know, the only saddest part about Minecraft Java Edition especially is that you pay the premium price of, what, $20, $30 for it?
Yeah.
But you don't get the option for RTX.
Yeah, yeah. I was super mad about that. And I honestly, I don't want to spend my $20 buying Windows 10 Edition because, you know, any, you know, normal person will play Minecraft on Java because it's a, you know, actual better game.
So much easier to mod. You get servers.
Exactly. Good servers. There's servers on Windows 10, but, you know, good servers is what you're getting on Java Edition.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, back to what I was saying. A little bit of Rocket League once in a while. It's a fun game. I don't know if you've ever played it before.
Oh, yeah, I play Rocket League as well. That's a pretty good. I enjoy it.
It's fun. Fun to get back on the controller once in a while. 2K21, I've been playing the life out of that, just trying to grind the game, you know, before, you know, 2K22 comes out and it's a new grind.
Sadly, since I don't have hard drive space for it, I had to delete it in order to get other stuff.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to your hard drive. Yeah, so CSGO, I've been playing a little bit of Battlefield 5 once in a while, and, you know, Rainbow Six. And I've been playing Uno with my friends. You know, if there's four of us, we can just play Uno, because, you know, why not? What if, I sometimes you know, tend to get mad over shooters once in a while. I'll just, you know, rage quit. So Uno's a good game to unwind. And this other game, it's called Tabs, Totally Accurate Battlegrounds.
Ooh, I love that. I wish I could get that.
Yeah, it's a free game on Steam. I think it's like a gig about. Something like that, yeah. And then Assassin's Creed Valhalla, if I didn't already mention it, that's a fun game to play. I actually got that game when I bought my CPU on Newegg. Newegg bundled Valhalla with it. And
shoot, that's nice, man.
Yeah, I actually bought my CPU before Valhalla released. I got my CPU in September, and Valhalla came out in November. So I got like a, you know, I think I got like I got the game a week before everyone else got it. It's not my favorite game. I think the game can be, you know, much better.
I think Origins is the best right now, personally.
I think any older Assassin's Creed game is better because, you know, in these new games, it's not much assassination. It's just any other, you know, game. So, yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, Aim Labs, and get that better aim, you know?
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's go. This is an interesting section. What do you think of Epic Games giving out, like, good free games? We'll use the example of 2K21, which they just, you know, gave out for free, and GTA 5, which they did last summer. What do you think of Epic Games doing that? What do they actually benefit from doing that?
So from this, they actually benefit from publicity. This is like a big PR stunt for them in a way. Because for them, they end up getting people who want to join their platform because of these free games. And it also helps that during the COVID season, I'll call it the season, but during this timeline, people are just stuck at home doing nothing besides playing games, doing their work. They really can't go outside and enjoy themselves like they used to.
Yeah, I agree. You know, but the thing is, I hate that, you know, if I want to play GTA on my Xbox and the game's not cross-platform, I still have to pay like $20-$30 for it.
But you have a PC.
Exactly, but I have a PC. So I have the game for free, but for, you know, everyone else on console, yeah, they got to pay money for it. But I think that's where I understand your point of a publicity stunt. I think what they did with 2K21 is they, you know, made a deal with 2K because I saw an advertisement for a collaboration that they're doing with Fortnite. Because Fortnite is Epic Games' baby. It's what's brought them the most success, to be honest. So they did a collaboration with Fortnite. So there's a bunch of Fortnite skins of NBA players. And in return for that, they, you know, had the game free for 6 days. And I know a bunch of my friends, we actually claimed it and we all played together. And I think I,
you know, yeah, I now there's it. A cutscene as well in Fortnite, because of the 2K.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I agree with what you said originally. It's a really good publicity stunt for them. It brings them a lot of publicity and it brings us a lot of fun.
The only problem is that, like, those that miss out, well, you missed out.
Yeah, they missed out. And the games still stay on there, and then they have to end up paying, like, full price, which is, like, you know, for 2K specifically, it's, like, $50-$60.
Oh, yeah.
And $30 if you can get it on a good sale. All right, let's move into our next section. What do we think of the gaming community? My opinion is, you know, it's starting to become really stale. I I don't know. Once in a while, I'll just get super bored until someone comes out with a new patch, for example. Like, you know, Riot, the creator of Valorant, they came out with the new map, Abyss. No matter what you think, I personally believe it's not that good of a map. But it brought me something to do. The game, yeah. It was starting to get boring. There was not much to do. So, you know, that's what I would do instead. I would play on this new map. But I think the whole gaming community in general is pretty stale right now. There's nothing crazy new that comes out. It's not like, you know, like Overwatch 2, for example, came out. It's nothing like that would bring so many people. It's not like a new Call of Duty game came out. It's not
drawing as many people anymore. Even when it did, it didn't get that much publicity.
Yeah, but it's not bringing up as many people. Do you think the same, or do you think otherwise?
I think the same. It also doesn't help that because of COVID that, like, people are, like, these companies cannot really make their games as efficiently as they could before. So there's less games coming to the market.
Speaking of efficiency, I hate... I mean, I have the storage for it, but I genuinely hate the fact that Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Cold War, that game's 100 gigs. Why is it 100 gigs? Fortnite and Valorant, 13, 14, 15 gigs. You know, 20 gigs, screw it. 20 gigs is fine, but 100 gigabytes of storage on my computer, it's absurd.
Like, what... I could have just, like, filled in with, like, 10 or 20 Fortnites in that.
Yeah, there's no efficiency. Like they're not efficient. Why?
Like, sure, it's offline, but, like, what is, like, taking up that space? If it was 50, that's even workable.
Yeah, 50 is fine, but 100, that's double that. It's crazy.
Yeah, like, GTA, I understand, because that has a huge story mode. That's, like, also, that's very good.
But GTA is not that big of a game, honestly.
It's 80 gigabytes.
Oh, never mind. Never mind, but that's a large game. That's a large, and it's also an old game. These Call of Modern Warfare and Cold War, they're brand new games, so there's no reason why the game should be, you know, 100 gigs.
Yeah, and most people are probably not going to do zombie mode, unless I'm wrong, and...
Zombies is one of those things that's fun once in a while, to be honest. It brings back, you know...
Memories.
Nostalgia memories, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's like... It could be better. Their zombie mode could be way better, but... It is what it is currently.
Yeah. So, what do you think of, like, for streaming? Speaking of which, twitch.tv/AD1TYAM, which is my name. Same name for my Instagram. So, you know, see you there. Drop me a follow. Maybe you'll see me streaming one day. Anyways, what do you think of Twitch streaming versus YouTube streaming? What's better? Why?
I feel like Twitch streaming is much better than YouTube. Because, like, it's just a bigger platform that's meant for streaming.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, YouTube has its own perks, but, like, you have to, like, cap out at how much donations and everything. And people are just, I don't know, they don't really want to look at streams on YouTube compared to, like, YouTube videos.
I agree. I believe YouTube will do much better if they separate it from YouTube itself. Like, yeah. It is integrated into the normal YouTube.com app. If it's a different site specifically meant for streaming, like, they have stuff.
Maybe not that, but, like, a completely different category, at least on YouTube.
I agree, yeah, for sure.
It's just, like, mixed in there so, like, when you see something that's number one on trending, you don't see streams at all.
Yeah.
All you just see is the videos that are trending.
But the problem with that is because everyone's streaming on Twitch. Twitch is a better platform. Twitch was meant for streaming. Twitch is meant for live streaming. Like, I've seen people live stream on YouTube, but it's not as big of a platform as Twitch is.
Yeah, and people on YouTube are expecting like maybe like clips and stuff. They're not really expecting like a whole full blown stream because like they want to just like sit, enjoy, but like not really like spend time viewing stuff.
I agree.
On Twitch, people will like podcast it in a way by playing it in the background or like people and like they might just, you know, like just like watch for like 1 hour, 2 hours, like, you know, like Ludwig stream that just happened recently. People were most likely podcasting it.
Yeah.
Or they were just viewing it for some time, maybe especially during the night, which is kind of creepy in my opinion, while he was sleeping, but people were doing it.
Yeah, no, I agree. So another thing that I find weird is Twitch isn't the best platform. Like, they have a lot of things they have to work on. There's a lot of fairness. They have a lot of technological issues, like notifications not going out. So I don't see why YouTube and Google, they don't capitalize on that. They can so easily capitalize on it and be the better platform.
That's true.
They can so easily be the number one streaming platform, but they're not. And it blows my mind. Maybe they have something better to worry about, but what can't hurt to hire more people and, you know, make a specific program. They are making more in the end. It's a good business
decision. They actually do have that program, though. People are affiliated with YouTube as well.
Yeah, but if you look... when you think of streaming, do you think of Twitch streaming or YouTube streaming?
Oh, definitely Twitch.
Exactly. Twitch.tv, that is the streaming site. Speaking of which, twitch.tv/AD1TYAM. I'll just say it again. You know, just drop me a follow. But, you know, it's, I don't know. I feel like Google/YouTube, they should definitely capitalize on that. They something good, something very good can come out of it if they, you know, properly do it and put good effort into it.
Yeah, but like but if you don't know, the content creator of the year, Valkyrie, was a YouTube streamer. She didn't have, like, many Twitch streams compared to, like, the number of YouTube streams she had.
Is she currently today, is she streaming on Twitch or YouTube?
Currently, I think she's streaming on YouTube. Yeah.
Interesting. So she's one of the very, I guess, few people who are actually doing that. And yeah, I feel like what YouTube/Google should do is they should pull a Mixer. You remember that deal where Mixer paid Ninja so much money when he was in his prime?
Oh, yeah.
You know, why don't they do that? They have the money for it. If they offer someone as big as him, it draws so many other people. I can name so many people who went to Mixer just because Ninja signed that $100 million deal with them.
Yeah, I think it was close to it. I think it was like $82 million.
A lot of people decided to go to Mixer just because, oh, Ninja did it. Like, especially his fans who wanted to stream. They all actually went to the platform because of him.
The major thing was those that were console streaming. Yeah, a lot of those consoles,
especially those on Xbox, because Mixer was owned by Microsoft. As of right now, today, Mixer is owned by Facebook, I believe, and they're rebranding it as Facebook Gaming. But you can also stream on Twitch from your Xbox. Like, I did that in like middle school.
I did it just recently during this summer, last summer.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I didn't get anyone, but
on the topic of streaming and Twitch, here's our final category for the day. What do you think of the Twitch hot tub streaming?
So I've only seen one, which was the offline TV one, and that was interesting. But
what do you think of the concept? When you think of Twitch, you're thinking of a guy sitting in front of his computer playing video games, not someone, you know, half naked in a hot tub.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's...
The worst part is that, like, people tend to sexualize the women on that platform.
Yeah, for sure. And that, I guess that's how they're making so much money off of, which is crazy.
Pokemon.
It's stupid. I don't know. But I feel like those creators shouldn't be monetized because it takes away from what the platform is meant for.
Yeah, that's true.
In my opinion, that is not what Twitch is. Twitch shouldn't be that platform.
Yeah, like, it's meant to be streaming, but, like, game streaming or, like, streaming with friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot tub is just, like, you want to just show off your assets? Do it on OnlyFans.
Yeah, exactly. I really don't... I feel like they should be demonetized for it. It's not worth it, to be honest.
And also, like... Don't they have, like, a TOS or something?
Yeah, they have terms of service, and I'm pretty sure some of these streams, they completely violate the TOS.
Yeah, it's like, you can't wear a bikini.
Yeah.
And anything. It's like, you have to wear something on top, but, like...
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Anyways, I think we're going to wrap it up on that note today. I want to thank Shari so much for coming out and recording, and I believe he's going to be a more frequent co-host on this podcast. I had a really good time. I enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you very much, Shari.
Likewise. I enjoyed talking with you today about my favorite topic.
Yeah, this was really great. This worked out well. You know, let me know if you guys want to see this happen more. I believe RF Garia is coming back in about a week, and we're going to be doing our follow-up from our previous podcast. So episode 3, we're going to be doing our follow-up for it because we recorded that back in January, so that's when the NBA season had just started. So we're doing our follow-up because... From what I remember, Arv and I, we had made a bunch of predictions as to what team is going where, and we'll just be following up and seeing if our predictions were actually true, you know, how stupid we were. It'll be a full NBA-themed episode. So, yeah, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can go to anchor.fm if you want to create a podcast similar to this. Thank you. Stay safe. Have a nice day.